Today's episode of Storyworthy is brought to you in part by Tada.com. Tada.com is the place to go before you check out on any purchase you buy online. Tada.com has coupons and shipping deals for thousands of stores, and the coupons and promo codes are valid. So Google Tada.com, click on the Tada website, and then start saving money.
Hi, this is Hannes Finney with Storyworthy, obviously. And Christine and I want to thank you for all you've done to help our numbers shoot way up in the past 3 months. We are available on Stitcher, on SoundCloud. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. Keep telling your friends. Keep telling your enemies. Tell anyone that you know to keep listening to Storyworthy because it's worth it. It's worth it.
It's Jim Krenn from Jim Krenn No Restrictions, and Christine's making me laugh here. I'm telling you, you got to listen to Storyworthy. Do not miss it.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from Peter Falk's house in Beverly Hills, California.
What are you talking about, honestly?
We're coming from Peter Falk's house because he starred in one of my favorite comedies of all time, The In-Laws.
Okay, I got you, because our storyteller tonight, Jim Krenn, he brings forth the topic In-Laws.
Right. I'm hoping it's about the movie. I'm hoping he just retells the entire, just a synopsis.
I don't actually...
Remember this, and this funny thing happened? Because that's never funny when people recreate
it. I don't remember that movie at all. What year was it?
Such an awesome movie. 1979.
Yeah. That was a good decade for filmmaking.
That was a good decade. It was, Andrew Bergman wrote it. He was one of the writers on Blazing Saddles, among other things.
Oh, okay. So it was a comedy, obviously.
It was a very funny. Peter Falk and Alan Arkin. And they are going to be in-laws to each other. And then wackiness ensues.
It sounds hilarious.
So I'm hoping the wackiness will ensue in Jimmy's story.
I'm sure it will. So listen, Jim Krenn is here. You got to understand, Hannes, this is a Pittsburgher, my hometown. This is like the guy
right.
of Pittsburgh.
I find this
He's
a
like
very,
the mayor
this is a nice
of a goddamn
get to me,
city.
But to you, you're over your mind.
I'm over the moon. I'm gaga. I told my sisters, there's like, no way. What do you mean? Is he on the phone? I don't get it. Are you Skyping? No, right. He's here in Los Angeles. It's
you're forgetting the first thing they
airplane.
Said is you have a show? Because they never listen. And your mother thinks this is called Story World.
That's very, very funny. It's very funny and it's very accurate. I'll say that.
Yeah, she has no idea that you record anything on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. It's my mother and I love her. So there I said that.
Somebody's got to.
Right, you guys, before we start, we did want to mention that if you'd like to support the show, and of course they do, Hannes.
Oh, they do. And not just morally, because we can't take morals to the bank, people.
What you do is you head over to storyworthypodcast.com when you shop at Amazon.
Right, you click on our Amazon banner.
First, bada, 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 bada. We get some money
right.
and everybody's
when
happy.
When you buy your Civil War pornography at Amazon, buy it through Story
It doesn't
Worthy
matter
Podcast.
What you buy.
That's where the money is.
It does not matter what you buy, folks. And also, don't forget, you can listen to Storyworthy on Stitcher Radio, which is an excellent resource for all podcasters.
That's
you know
right.
that.
And yes, and don't forget that we tweet.
I tweet.
And you tweet. By we, I mean you.
That's right.
Under the story, at Storyworthy. And we tweet, and we have a Facebook page, and we're all
blah,
with the media,
blah,
with the kids.
Blah. Oh,
all
my
the,
goodness.
I think we're going to reopen our MySpace page. It's going to be awesome.
I'm on Friendster again.
Friendster, that's right. I'm actually going to restart putting telegraph wires up again.
You should.
So that we can really get people.
Your fiancé would be thrilled.
Yes.
Are you still engaged, by the way, honey?
Yes, I'm still engaged.
Is there a wedding happening? Is there any sort
yeah,
of
it's happening
bells
in the future.
Ringing?
Sometime in
what
the
future. What is your future?
In the future.
What future?
The future is a nebulous concept.
Honestly,
it may
Hannes,
go on
you should
for,
get on it because it's sooner or later. I know what you're saying.
You're saying, why don't you have any in-laws right now?
That's why what don't you have any in-laws right now?
Because I'm not married yet. Because
you've been engaged for how long? Let's be honest. 4 years.
Three or four years.
3-4 years. So do you not want in-laws?
That's a different question. I want to get married. No, I don't want in-laws. I have a common law in-law that I have. I wonder if that's a phrase, common law in-law, that I haven't met yet in Atlanta, Sherry's mother. Then back in the old days in my common-law in-laws were in Milwaukee like 20 years ago. And I was with my ex, now friend, Susan, for 7 years, and I never met her father once.
Interesting. Did she not see him? Were they estranged?
They weren't estranged, but he had no interest in her life whatsoever.
I know that father. Well,
yes, I know. I think perhaps we all do. But I mean, how just by accident you would think I met this guy. I met her mother a million times. That's a lot of fun.
You lived in the same state.
In the same city.
Yeah, in the same city. So you would think you'd run into
him
now.
It's Milwaukee. It's not like it's Manhattan or L.A., which sprawls out. Huh. You would think that just by accident you'd be at the mall. There's only like three malls.
Sooner or later, Hannes, you need to seal the deal with Sherry, or there's going to be a problem. She's going to walk. I'm just saying. You ask somebody to marry them, then they assume that you're going to follow through. Just at some point. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So I would say you should make sure you're married by the 5-year mark. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Listen, you're talking to a twice divorced person, so what do I know?
Yeah, thanks for all that. Yeah,
really
all that good advice.
The problem here.
You can't get divorced unless you get married first. And you're like, unless you've had the fun of getting divorced.
To be fair, I'm still married. But look, I have had two sets of in-laws, and I've been very, very lucky. They've all been really good people. And I always thought that when you meet somebody's parents, it's a very good indication that if you're with a good guy. Do you know what I mean? Like if his parents are good people, then I would think that there'd be some sort of trickling down.
You know,
that apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, the first set of in-laws, I will say, they really pissed me off because during my first divorce, and interestingly enough, Jim Krenn might know my first husband.
Ooh.
He might. I don't know.
Let's find out. We'll find out later.
And I know Mark Getty is here. Mark Getty's sitting in on the podcast today. He's listening. He's a musician. And so they both know my first husband,
I think.
Would
you put down the bong, please?
The point is that his parents, when we split, they took his side, which I understand because...
would be a tough one.
But I know he's their blood and everything, but the fact that he got another girl pregnant, you know, maybe could have given me like a nod to cut me a little slack. Do you know what I mean?
You think so, although now that you say that, I realize that not only is he their blood, but so is the child, is their grandchild.
That was coming.
So you were totally screwed in that situation.
You know, it's interesting. I never thought of it that way. That's funny. But I didn't do anything wrong, obviously. But they cut me out of their life completely. Now, I think I will have to say this, that I think that they may have been a little bit pissed because at the time that this went down, okay, and I found out that he was seeing another girl and she was pregnant. First I found out they were seeing each other. Then I found out she was pregnant. His parents had lent us $10,000 to put down as a down payment on a house. Now, let's get real. Obviously, $10,000.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh. The house. Ask me how much the house was.
How much was the house?
$77,000.
So it was the most expensive house in Pittsburgh.
It's like a car now is what it was. Anyway, so they had given us $10,000 to buy this townhouse. We were 2 weeks away from closing on the property when I found out about the affair. So let me ask you something, Hannes. If you and Sherry were married, which I know is not happening, I understand. But let's just say you were. And you start fucking a 24-year-old girl. By the way, I was 26 at the time. He was 38. I thought I was the younger woman. But trust me, ladies out there, they always go younger. No doubt about that. But if let's say you were doing that, you were married and you're fucking a younger woman.
Sure, I would never do that.
Would you then go out and look for a house with your wife? Go through
Well,
homes
no, but
and
if you're doing that, you're
there,
living in a weird delusion.
Borrow money from your parents. And then buy the house all the while you're with this girl. Would you do something like that?
I would not.
Right.
But perhaps your sleazy... And by the way, that a musician would act like this is shocking, shocking news. I cannot believe. But see, he's thinking, I'm going to have this affair because I'm about to get married. And
well,
then it's going to end. You're married, but, you know, you're going to buy a house and, like, this is it. So, you know, I'm going to have this affair. It's going to end, and that's
it. Okay.
He doesn't think she's going to get pregnant.
Okay, we weren't going through with the house, obviously.
Ruined by the pregnancy.
Right, and the thing is...
Once again, sperm, our mortal enemy.
We were moving into this house. The people that were already living there, they had, like, two kids. They were moving into a house, and those people were moving into a house. So now it's a trickle effect. We're not moving, they're not moving, and you're not moving, and nobody's closing on any houses anytime soon.
Right.
So we, of course, lose the $10,000 down payment. And this is where his parents come back in, because they think that I should take $5,000 hit and he takes a $5,000 hit.
And pay them back.
And what do I say?
You say, I'm not paying you
Fuck
back.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I find out on Saturday night he's having the affair, and on Monday I closed the, you know, I took all the money out of the bank account.
That's another indication to you kids today,
well,
how long ago this is. She had to wait until Monday. She couldn't go on the computer Saturday night and get the money
out of the online
bank.
Money problems walk in the front door and love goes out the back. That's what I've heard. But you know,
By the way, when love goes in the back door, no pregnancy. That's what I'm saying.
The last time I was in Pittsburgh, just a few months ago, I ran into my in-laws at Sorgel's Orchard, which is in the Wexford exit off 79.
Everybody in the room is like, ooh, and I'm like, I don't give a shit about this.
Anyway, no, but I ran into them, and they're like in their 80s, and they were so nice to me.
Sure.
Of course. And they told me everything that was going on with everybody in the family, but did not mention, you know who. But why would they be mad at me? You know, I didn't do anything, obviously.
At the time, I'm sure your ex-father-in-law was like, my son's a fucking idiot, and I'm out $10,000.
Yeah, they're probably embarrassed, really. And frankly, he got that other girl pregnant. They had one son, then they had another son. Then she left him because, and this is actually a really good part to end the story, because she got pregnant with another guy's twins. So that is a beautiful ending.
So that is
better, they were selling Amway. So that really gets it.
Oh, my Lord.
It's a great
story. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Situation.
How old is that kid now?
44? I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a real storyteller here, and I look forward to that.
Right, not like this. Not that this wasn't wonderful, this trip down memory lane of your horrifying...
Well, we're going to hear about his in-laws, and I look forward to it. So,
yes.
Folks, wherever you are, stay tuned, because Jim Krenn is on his way here. Hey, Hannes, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about our new sponsor, Tada.com. Tada.com is the place you go before you check out on any purchase you buy online.
Yeah, Tada.com has coupons and shipping deals for thousands of stores, and all those coupons and promo codes are valid.
Exactly, and so that's the point, because so many times when you think you're getting a promo code or a coupon code, and you put it in, and it's not valid, and then you got to go back, and it's a complete hassle. But at Tada.com, the coupons work.
Yeah, you actually see the last time the coupon was used, so it'll come up like 2 minutes ago or one day ago, and that's how you know the coupon's valid.
Now, like, for instance, recently I bought some new Storyworthy postcards on Vistaprint.com, and so I went to Tada.com first, and I saved 50% on my order, Hannes. I'm telling you, these are coupons and promo codes that work.
So check them out before you check out. It's two extra clicks, and you save money.
So Google Tada.com, you guys. Click on the Tada website, and then start saving money.
Tada.com.
Week on Storyworthy, we have comedian Mike Siegel.
And I'll be talking about my grandma.
Next week on Storyworthy. And we're back. We have left Peter Falk's house, and we are now in Alan Arkin's house, the co-star of the, and oddly enough, he is still alive, of course, and kicking, and he does not know we're here, so we need to be a little quiet.
That's upstairs, exactly right.
He's taking a nap right now. We're in his basement.
You know, one time I read about Robert Wagner. You know, he lives in Beverly Hills. And when he shot that show, Heart to Heart, he was the star of the show. He was executive producer of the show. And then they used his goddamn house as the location to shoot the show. So he is rolling out of bed, going into his living room, and making...
That's awesome. And that means that's another paycheck. He gets a check. That's like Jerry Seinfeld got four checks for Seinfeld.
Wow.
Creator, producer, writer, actor. So that's how he made, you know, and then all the resist. So he's making money as creator, he's making money as star, and he's getting a location fee for going downstairs.
So we'll go to Robert Wagner's house.
Robert Wagner. You know what? You should marry Robert Wagner right now.
You think he's on OK Cupid?
No, but I think that he's just awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Krenn is here right now. He's a comedian and a radio personality, and he's currently the host of the podcast No Restrictions, also here on Sideshow Network. Did you know that, Sean?
Absolutely.
I would think you would know that.
I tried to listen to it, but it was restricted. I couldn't get
Jimmy
into the website.
Jimmy is best known for his work on the DVE morning show on WDVE in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Hannes, you know, what can I say? DVE rocks.
Right.
Now, he's not on the show anymore, so it doesn't rock nearly as hard.
No.
But there's a thing in your psyche when you come from there that it's just, so he is superstar in that city.
He's like
city.
The Bob
That's
Reitman of Pittsburgh. Bob Reitman was a guy in Milwaukee who was on the air for 40 years. Anyhow, just a sidebar. Had to get Milwaukee in there.
Folks, you can find him at jimcren.com or on Twitter at jimcren. Wherever you are, put your hands together for Jimmy Cren.
Serpentine, Shelley, Serpentine.
I love that movie, The In-Laws. It was tremendous. Love Peter Falk in there. A great, interesting subject, huh? About in-laws, about family. Because when you marry another family, you become part of that family. And I'm married one time, luckily, and I outkicked my coverage. I married up. You've seen my wife; she's stunning, right? There's nowhere you can't get better than her. And I was the luckiest guy in the world. I have the greatest in-laws. I really do. They are just nice people. They welcome me. And when you're married 20 years, you go to different layers of family, of in-laws, of learning about the family. And my wife's most colorful relatives were her Aunt Jo. Her Aunt Jo, I just learned to really, I fell in love with. And in her 90s, she has since passed away. Okay, when I met her, she was in her 90s. And I remember my wife saying, you gotta meet Aunt Jo. Aunt Jo practically raised me, Jim, really close to Aunt Jo. And her son is Smoke. Smoke is in his 60s. Smoke looked like Dave from Wendy's. Okay, picture the white hair, had a hat that said Smoke, which he wore all the time. Baseball cap, like a trucker cap, just said Smoke. I never would see him without a cigarette. In his hand. Always had it in his hand, all the time. I mean, his little hands like burnt, like just from smoking the cigarette and stuff. And just always, he's still kicking, still there. The most colorful and interesting people I'd ever met. Now, and they lived in Frederick, Maryland. I remember talking to Aunt Jo on the phone several times and getting ready for the trip to meet her. Tell me about her dog, Chippy. I love dogs. So we drive down to Frederick, and we're going to live the little trailer park, and Aunt Jo's trailer, and Uncle Smoke's right across the street, and I'm all happy and excited to meet. And so I get there, and you get my bags. I bring my wife's bags in the trailer. Aunt Jo's trailer is beautiful, really, really warm and homey, and really, really cool. I could hear the cough now from Smoke in the background. It's great. Yeah, bringing me back. Smoke was there to greet me, came from across the street, cigarette in hand. And Chippy, the dog, which was a Boston Terrier, but mixed with something he's like muscular. And I got to tell you, till this day, I have never, ever had my leg humped like Chippy humped my leg. I'm not kidding. The very first moment I met Chippy, he jumps on my leg and goes to town. I don't know what's going on here. But Aunt Jo has a fly swatter, a big red fly swatter, and smacks Chippy in the head. And Chippy jumps up and he hates his fly swatter. She goes, hold on to this fly swatter or he's going to get you. So I got the fly swatter and I am really holding on to the fly. One time I accidentally put the fly swatter. Chippy was on my shoulder just going to town. I grabbed the fly head. He hands me the fly swatter. Wife, I'm hitting the chip and boom, he runs. He's done. I got to have the fly swatter at all times. This I know. So the first day we're there, everything's acquainted and everything, and I start hearing about Smoke's family and Smoke's sons, and I hear about his son Melvin, who just got out of prison. Now it's starting to get colorful. Melvin was in prison for some drug thing, and Smoke talked like this, and you always had like kind of everybody got a real detail, like you knew, Melvin was in jail, Jimmy, just got out of prison, and he didn't know that drug dealer was in that house when the fire started. What? He didn't know. But stuff like that. So Smoke wants to show me around Frederick, and he wants to meet his kids and their kids or whatever. I'm just going around Frederick and looking at Civil War stuff or whatever, and Aunt Jo's cooking back at the place, and I'm going through the whole thing, and Smoke and Melvin and I are bonding, and I guess I remind him of a prison inmate friend or something. But the strangest part, Chippy's waiting for me at home. So So all day affair, first day, we're out having a good time. And I'm exhausted, you know. And his whole family are sitting in the trailer, and I really want to go to bed. I really just want to go to sleep. But they want to talk to me. And Hetty's sitting there, and Aunt Jo, and there's like eight kids and kids' kids or whatever, all sitting around the trailer, and it's kind of wild. And they're all telling these stories. And I'm just like nodding off, like kind of. And all of a sudden, Smoke decides he's going to get into an argument with Melvin, who just got out of prison, on who had it worse in life. Like, this one's going to top the other on you had it bad. You know, Melvin has been in prison talking about, you know, been shanked or whatever. That's pretty whatever. And I'm like, yeah. But Smoke, this is where it got interesting. Smoke starts telling this story, right hand to God. He goes, Melvin, you thought you had it bad. What about me? What about my life? I mean, when Dottie left me, and then the restaurant went south, and then I killed that lady, and then the car thing happened, and then the tax thing, of course, was there, and then this, and the supermarket thing. Yes, in the middle of all that, I wake up, and I go, holy shit, did he just say he killed a lady? And Hetty, my wife's looking at me like, she's looking at me. Like, I know. I'm like, I don't know him. This is your relative. I don't know what you mean. And I said, and I looked at her and whispering. I'm really whispering. I go, is he still talking? He's into it. Yeah. And I go, did he say, Smoke, kill lady? She just nods. Yeah. Like, wow. So we don't see anything, you know. So they leave and all. And now we're in bed in the back of the trailer. And I remember it's pitch black. And I remember 20 minutes, 30 minutes go by. And I know Hetty's not asleep because I'm not. And I just hear, I go, Hetty? She goes, yeah. I said, Smoke say kill a lady, right? He killed a lady. She nervously, yes, like that. Like, you know anything about this? No. I'm like, I got to ask him. Yeah. I got to ask him. I can't take it. I get up the next morning. It's like, and Joe gets up early. So I'm up like Chippy's waiting to hump me. Yeah. The morning hump. It's like 7 in the morning or 7:30. I get my shoulder humped. I hit him. And I'm like, okay, Smoke's coming over for breakfast. I'm sitting there at the table. And I'm telling you, guys, it had to be, say, a 7:45, whatever. I didn't even, Smoke's rear end didn't hit the chair. I am jumping right on it. I want to, right? I mean, he had the hat, the Smoke hat on, just lit up, ready to sit down. I'm like, Smoke, I have to ask you something. Yeah, Jimmy, what? Did you kill a lady? he goes, oh, yeah, that. Yeah, I did. I'm like, well, what do you mean? What happened? He goes, well, it was a driving rainstorm. And I was driving, and they were having a picnic. And this lady was in her 90s, and she was blind, and she was deaf, and she mute, couldn't speak or nothing. And I guess her caretaker was supposed to be with her and just wasn't with her. And she, damn it, Jimmy, she wandered off onto the road, and I didn't see her, and just went, I hit her and went right up into my car, and I see her face in the windshield. He gets all emotional. Just, I swear to God, he said this. I'll tell you. I'm like getting choked. I'm like, wow. And he goes, I'll tell you what. I was so shaken up, I couldn't drive the car again. I couldn't drive again for 2 weeks. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, 2 weeks. I couldn't do it. Shook me up. It's crazy.
Story. Oh
my 2 weeks.
No, wait, yeah, this is right. Hetty's sister's husband.
Hetty's aunt. Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So Hetty's aunt. So he's the husband.
Hetty's aunt Joe's son. So we just called him Uncle Smoke.
Okay, yeah, okay. Okay. So he wasn't her husband who lived in the trailer next door. It was her son who lived in the trailer next door.
And is he dead of lung cancer now?
No, he's still hanging. No, and he's going to live to 100. He smokes constantly. Yeah, he's a good man.
Interesting. Now, some people just have that thing. They go right through cigarettes.
Yeah, they could drink. They could smoke, you know.
And they keep living.
We think we have so much power. Like, you know what? I'm going to eat wheatgrass and I'm going to jog every day. And then you're going to fucking die. die if you're going to fucking... If you're meant to die at 45, you're just going to drop dead. Ugh. And if you're meant to live to 100, you can shoot yourself in the face and you're going to live.
Yeah.
You're going to... It's all genetic.
Well, he was somebody who didn't carry things with him. He knew how to shut the book, right?
It was a true accident, though. I mean, it was an accident.
Yeah, lady couldn't see and hear. Oh. Yeah, it was the caretaker should have been watching. Yeah, yes, it was a real accident.
I know those people, and I have these relatives, too, and I think this might be the majority of human beings. It's always somebody else's fault. It's like he didn't know the drug dealer was there when he set the house on fire. Like it's his fault for being there when he set it. Whatever that story was.
If she came into the middle of the road, right. I mean, it was an accident.
It was a total accident.
Right, yeah, but it's like even an accident has to be somebody's fault. Well, the caretaker should have. Really? Did he ever earn a leash?
He mourned for 2 weeks.
I felt bad for laughing about that, but Hetty and I were laughing so hard after we left and when we went through the whole scenario about, you know, couldn't
have you
go
ever
for 2 weeks.
Have you ever considered that maybe you could also stay at a hotel, maybe?
Aunt Jo would have got upset.
And was the trailer beautiful? Because it didn't sound beautiful.
You know what? There was something about this woman. That it was. It was. I grew up in the Strip District, in this little apartments and little townhouses they had above wholesale places. It reminded me of as a kid because Aunt Jo reminded me of my grandmother. In other words, it wasn't about money. It was about like when Aunt Jo cooked a meal, there was a ritual to it. There was a love of whatever it was. She was cutting the tomatoes and the onions. There was an importance to making that meal. So I remember when she was cooking this meatloaf dish, the entire trailer started to have that permeative, that beautiful
only so
smell.
Big, to
and
be
it's
fair.
So yeah, really, and Chippy's humping me. But it just had that warmth of pride. Grew up with no money, and I never knew I was poor.
How many people were in your house growing up?
My mother and father and me in a little apartment. American Restaurant was next door, and had my grandmother.
But you're an only
great-grandma.
Child.
And I'm an only child.
That's very interesting. No, I didn't know that.
I had a lot of family living next door, aunts, uncles, cousins. So even though I was an only child, I was amongst a lot of family members and a lot of loved characters.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's interesting when you grew up in a place like the Strip District because the characters became your family too. Not only aunts, uncles, and cousins, but I had this... these friends, like I was a janitor at the American Restaurant. I was like 15, 16 years old. And even the patrons in there were like uncles and stuff. I remember this old African-American gentleman, Hammy. Kind of reminded me of Richard Pryor's
Hammy?
That was his name. Reminded me of Mudbone, a little Richard Pryor. Yeah, but he was like that. And he was like always helping my esteem. You know?
The urinal's clean. You're a good cleaner, you know, like that.
Were you a good cleaner?
I was good. Grade A.
I want to ask the Strip District.
Yeah.
I want to know what the Strip District is.
It's not strippers.
It's not strippers, but what is it?
25, 30 blocks where all the rails were there, all the trains along the river there.
Okay.
And it was
a
level area of land with all the trains and all the produce comes in.
Yeah, see,
and
that's a thing that people do in the rest of the country in LA. You would never.
Retail.
I'm sure that place exists here. But nobody like goes there or thinks of it as a place anyone would live.
Because we like it all cleaned up in
a
tiny little market with three or four stalls. This is interesting, though, because, of course, it all comes back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that's where I'm from and that's where you're from.
Right.
Now, here's the thing with Jimmy Crenn, you guys, if you guys out there who don't know him. First of all, he's got his own show. You know this, right, Hannes?
Yes.
No
the
restrictions.
Completely restricted show. No one can listen.
No restrictions.
I'm sorry.
Everyone can listen.
Except you, Hannes. This is a treat now because everybody can hear Jimmy. Because it used to be, of course, he was just on in Pittsburgh, and that was just the market, and then that was that. But now with a podcast, of course, you know, obviously everybody.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when we grew up, it was like there were these individual, like regional personalities,
right?
And it's. That's all
but
now gone
those
now.
Right
it's
those walls are gone and those lines are not there anymore. And so it's a treat that more people are going to hear you now, Jim. Can I call you Jimmy? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, okay.
Can I call
Christine.
You Smoke?
Here's
sure, you
I
can
keep
from now on, okay. Honest. Sure. You can call me that.
But this is like, crazy. Like, the mayor of Pittsburgh proclaimed February 22nd, 2008, Jim Crenn Day.
Isn't that so cool?
What's
I'll
happening?
Never forget that.
You have your own day.
I do. And all the kids get together in the Strip on Jim Crenn Eve.
And we
light our bongs for Manny sandwiches.
Everybody, that's
yes,
right.
And yeah, you pray for them.
Oh, wait, let me ask you. That's
Jim Crenn Eve.
That's the
fun.
One with the French fries inside the sandwich?
Yes. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So what do you guys think as Pittsburgher of this bullshit at Burger King?
Thieves.
Suddenly they have a thing where they put French fries on their hamburger.
I was
pissed. It's a bunch of
bullshit.
They stole it, yeah. exactly.
Well, Permane's exactly. actually, though, has been sold, right? But to the Outback Steakhouse chain?
Oh, it's like and Permane's yeah, is now... the family still, or yeah, sold it
yeah,
to
but it's
someone
now, Permane's is going to be nationwide.
It's
I mean,
gonna, they're
going to
grow, yes.
It started in the Strip District. That was the first one, or was the first...
Very first one in the Strip. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so in college, you drink a pitcher of beer with your friend, mm-hmm. two or three pitchers of beers with your friends, and then you go to Permane's and you eat these, my favorite, double egg.
Yes.
Jim?
I like capicola and cheese is
capicola
my favorite.
Capicola and cheese.
There's a food truck out here, too, that does that.
There's a food truck. Oh, wait, I know that food
they
truck.
They got the Permane's type sandwich.
Steel
truck.
City. We went
Steel
to it.
Steel City's
We
Steel
went
City
to it in North yeah. Hollywood. They've got all these food trucks and all the different trucks. And we went to the Steel City one, but you know what? Not that great. Now, if they would like to, you know, if they would like to give me a complimentary sandwich, I will be happy to go back and try
it. If they would like to pay for some advertising, we will go back and edit this out, and you will say, it is the greatest food truck in the world.
Absolutely,
the key's
yes.
in the slaw. The slaw is, the Permane does something to the coleslaw that's unique. I don't know what it is. The vinaigrette
there's
slaw.
Like a, there's a bite to
something.
It, isn't there?
Yeah,
so on
I
the
don't
sandwich,
know what it is.
They start with fresh bread. So it's not just like bread. It's not like Subway processed bread.
Yeah, it's a nice
like
French, Italian bread.
Italian, something's you know. European bread. And then they put on your topping, your capicola, your double egg.
Yeah, your cheese steak, your number one.
Then,
yeah.
then the coleslaw, then the French fries.
Then the fries.
The fries, of course, are fresh cut potatoes.
Yes, yes.
Then
you got to smush it.
Then you smush it down.
So you know what you're doing,
and
yeah.
And you pump an iron, and you're good.
Yeah, so you don't want to hurt yourself, but just hit it down nice. You know, nice and moderate. So
this is probably the only thing in the world that'll make me go to Pittsburgh. I'm going right now.
You'll love it.
I'm going right now. No,
you'll love it.
Sure, I would.
I absolutely do. I was weaned on it growing up as a kid. Little nipple bottle and whole deal.
Of Icy Light?
That's the only way I'd sleep.
That's fantastic.
How about Natty Light?
Let me ask you that. Wait.
No, it's just iron.
Wait, here's another one. In May 2012, the City Council of Pittsburgh officially proclaimed Jim Krenn the honorary ambassador of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
What's that mean? Do you have a key?
Yeah. I welcome people when they come in.
It's actually a plastic,
can you go
to plastic card.
Hinesfield anytime you want. Tell me the upside of all this.
Being an ambassador?
Events.
Oh yeah, I can walk into anywhere I want. I can run down on kickoff if I want.
Are you lying?
People walk.
No,
yes, of course.
Is it not
I am.
True that
he wouldn't let me near this?
Is it not true that you were the ambassador?
People
who
walk in from Ohio. Welcome
no,
to Pittsburgh.
No,
you went to Syria and you negotiated the peace as ambassador. This is what happened.
Yeah, he and Dennis Rodman. There's
yes.
a threesome.
Right. He and Dennis
Kim
Rodman.
Jong-il,
Dennis Rodman's actually
Dennis
here.
Dennis Rodman and Jim.
He's taking
Krenn.
A nap under
no
the table.
No restrictions.
If there's trouble in Akron, they don't let me go as far as Syria.
Oh, okay.
No, but listen,
I do Akron or Alliance, Ohio.
Do you really love all the sports you pretend to enjoy?
Absolutely. Absolutely, 110%. No bullshit.
I don't care. I have to be honest with you. I don't care for sports as much as I used to
girls,
when I lived
in Pittsburgh. Girls.
But when I lived in Pittsburgh and I went to school.
I don't
want to
be, you know, feminist.
At Duquesne, and I went to so many Steeler games, and it was like constant, every Penguin game, every Steeler game, I mean, and all the Duquesne basketball games, and I was really, it was such a part of my vernacular. But I'll be honest with you, I always felt like I was kind of being pushed into this is what you're supposed to be enjoying.
Right.
Because every fucking other person in the city does. But I'm more artistic. I'm a little more creative. I felt a little smushed down by that kind of competitiveness.
Did you notice that the Pittsburghese in me that came out when you said that? I said, it's okay, you're a girl.
And that.
You're a lad. You're a lad to do
you're
that.
You're a lad, Nat. I know,
you,
I know.
Forgive
but
you.
No,
it's
no,
okay.
I guess I'm just saying
it's
that
all right.
I think when you move, if you live in a football town or a real sports town,
yes.
anyone, men or women, you're more inclined to be, you know, involved. And now that I live in L.A., I'm just saying I,
right.
because it's also hard out here getting up at freaking 9:30, you know, and popping that iron at 10.
Yes. Yeah. It just represents us so much, you know, our city, our black and gold just represents us in who we are.
The pride.
And it's the pride, you know, in the Steelers and our Pirates and our Penguins.
And you don't
it really
get tired
is.
Of that.
I don't, know, because it's really genuine.
He is a
it's
man.
A genuine feeling. That,
well, I'm just curious.
Pride.
Now, the No Restrictions podcast, you've got three other guys on there with you.
Yeah.
And
sure.
which one is the sports? There's like one sports guy.
Yeah, we have Mike Wysocki. He does a twisted version of sports, a comedic version, and we have Terry.
I've heard him. It's not that funny.
But it's sport. It's a journalistic in a way. I mean, he's accurate. That's why. That's why you don't like some of his stuff. It's really, you know. But you know, John Evans and Terry Jones too.
Let's go back to your uncle. Your uncle, Uncle Smoke.
Oh, Uncle Smoke. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? A lot of people really do smoke a lot back there still, don't they?
I smoke cigars, not all the time, but you know, maybe few a week. Right. I don't, it is kind of a Northeast thing, I think.
I
don't you think?
I wonder why that is. Yeah, I do
mean,
think
maybe
that
it's
is.
In our culture or something in the Northeast. Like, you know, mill workers or something.
Yes.
Years ago, handed down.
You come back from the funeral of somebody who just died of lung cancer, and then everybody's in the house over the kitchen table smoking cigarettes. You know, like
and
nobody. There's
not
no correlation.
Pittsburgh's really not known for their mills or anything anymore, as you know, it's high tech and medicine. And it's medicine, which is funny, than universities.
Yeah, I'm from Milwaukee, which is a similar place. It's like things don't change. Also, I go back and like so many places that I'm like, well, this must have changed since I was in high school. No, it's still there.
Yeah.
And it's like, so people are still smoking because America used to smoke. Everybody smoked 50 years ago. And that change is coming very slowly.
There's a stubbornness to the city of Pittsburgh. And I see it with my own family. And I have four sisters, and none of them are on Facebook. Why aren't they on Facebook? Because they just have this there's this stubbornness, like, you're not going to make me do. You know,
we don't
like
being forced. There's a little fuck you to change kind of attitude in a way. And I understand.
Like, I think, like, that's not the hill I want to die on. And I want to know what's going on. Like, my sister, sometimes I feel like if you followed me on Facebook, I know it sounds, I'm just saying, she would know more about what's going on. And I just feel like, why do you want to die on that hill of stubbornness? And that's what sometimes Pittsburgh does to me.
We change. It just takes longer. Pittsburghers, it takes longer. And then we're all in. And there's an moment. Once it gets to the point where where we see that's easier on our lives, so we go for it. And you'll hear Pittsburgh. You hear it for miles when you hear them. They find it. They go, hey.
And then they go over
to see GPS.
Right, or something like that. Oh,
let
that's
me say,
where a smartphone
I can't get there.
Is. It's a computer.
Well, yeah, it takes. We get there eventually.
Speaking
you know?
Of change in sports, you just reminded me of something that I can still. This is my superiority as a Packer fan.
Yeah.
Last year, Nike designed all new uniforms for the NFL, and the only team that refused to change a single thing was the Green Bay Packers. Even the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well,
changed a little
there's
bit.
There's something
not
about
much.
Tradition
not
I
much.
Respect. I mean, it's like that's why you never see the Steelers. I don't think you ever see the Steelers or the Packers do Hard Knocks and things like that. There's certain things that the traditions
I would
or
like
whatever.
To see them following people around Green Bay. It's like, okay, what kind of intrigue? Well, I'm going to the diner and then I'm going home and going to sleep. Tomorrow I might fish. This is a great episode.
Well, see, we hated playing. The worst thing was when we had to play you guys in the Super Bowl because it's hard to hate the Green Bay Packers and their fans because they're kind of like us. They're kind of same.
That was one of the greatest Super Bowls ever precisely because everybody who was watching that game actually knew what the hell football was about.
Right.
And it wasn't a bunch of schmucks. And I remember it now, Christine and her ex-husband, who is from Columbus but a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, we all got together at our neutral site of our friend who was a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Had to be neutral.
We had to watch the game there. And they got there first and set up a curtain of one gold blanket and one black blanket.
I made him walk through a steel curtain. That's what
which
I made
we got. And then, of course, when it was over, and I had my friend Evan, who I've known since the first grade, Gore, who has been a guest on our show, we found Schlitz. So we're drinking Schlitz. We're watching this game.
It was a dream.
And we were all just... And at the end of the game, we went, so you want to go take that curtain down?
I'm telling you.
You're still upset about this.
Sports, but that's the thing with sports, though, that I am intrigued with, is that there's always a moment of tension, and it's not political. It's not, you know, Republican, Democrat.
It's pure.
It's pure, man. It's hardcore. And I have it with tennis, so I'm not, like, totally out of sports. Because I watch my boyfriend,
Rafael Nadal, yes.
And I'm way into that.
It transcends. Sport transcends everything.
I know.
And I really learned it covering Super Bowls.
I guess I'm just trying. I fight against it a little bit. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, because Super Bowls, the week of Super Bowl week, there's just every, you know, all types of parties. And, you know, it's not about, it just brings everybody together.
It's not necessarily the game. It's the whole, it's not necessarily what the game is.
It's a holiday. Cultural it's officially a holiday.
Event. Yeah, it's an absolute
event. Holiday.
Yeah, I mean, you have everyone there from, you know, you'll see Bono and all of a sudden Mike Tyson will be at a party or whatever. You got the meat, by the way.
Oh, wow. That was interesting.
He killed me in a bear hug almost.
What's that tattoo on his eye?
I got a real close look.
Is that weird, right?
It's interesting. I didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying tell him. I'm just saying it's so
There's a
specific.
Friend of his who's a writer for USA Today, my friend John Saracino, and he knows him. And no one was, he had like a pack of people looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one would get near him. And I told my friend Rod, it was at this Maxim party. Everybody has a party, right? All these men. So I go, I'm going to go say hi to Mike Tyson. And Rod's like, don't do it. You know, because no one's getting near me. Looks angry. I go, I have to. My end's going to be, hey, I'm friends with John Saracino. So I walk in the
that,
and I look like
it.
A little animal gazelle plopping around. And I go up to him and the tattoo did get me. I'm like looking at it, and he looks at me like kind of menacing, like, you know, what the fuck you want? You know, that look. Yeah. And I just said, Mike, how you doing, Mr. Tyson? And I said, John Saraceno is a friend of mine. He's like, blah, blah, blah. And he jumps on me, and he hugs me, and his little head was right. He's shorter than me, which is weird. But his little head's right in my, and he goes, John Saraceno is a very dear friend of mine. Please tell him to say hello. Please tell him. Like, I will. And he starts squeezing harder, and I can't breathe. He goes, John Saraceno is a very, I couldn't breathe. I will. And he finally let me go, and I ran away.
He sounded like Elmer Fudd.
He did.
In a headlight.
In my shirt.
How tall is he? I would have thought six feet.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I had no idea.
He's probably just right underneath me. You know.
Hey, Jimmy.
He's strong.
You want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
The title I pulled out, Virginity. Virginity, I remember it was not a good thing for the poor girl. It was in a car. And I got to tell you, every time I see a Toyota, I have a warm feeling inside. And it was a stick shift, by the way. And it was her car, which was interesting. And, it, you know, and I just loved it. I thought that was, you know, very, very American. In the car. I was 20 years old. I was later in life. I, you know, being a Catholic, growing up with all the Catholic guilt, you know, it's like, it took a long time for me. You know, the girl had to, you know, had to initiate things. I was so shy. I'm the shyest guy in the world. And I was in the car. Next thing you know, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And God, I tell you, I loved it. After that, I loved taking rides.
Wow, that is a good story. 20 years old, that's beautiful.
Later, huh?
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you think? That's cool, I guess. You know,
18, 19, 20, those are better years.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's good.
Like I said, so shy. Yes. You know.
That's good. Everybody has that story, which is why it works on the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
That was fun.
Okay, good. All right, Hannes. Look at all of a sudden everything gets quiet.
I know. I'm just going back in time.
I'm going back in time.
Did you date that girl any further, or how long did you go out?
We were friends. Yeah, she was a waitress. I'd see her every once in a while.
Did you have sex for more with her?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so that was an ongoing.
Yeah, a couple times.
No, that was
like a major thing. Yeah.
I'm never again. No, that can happen where there's guys who like do it and they're so bad that like the girl's like, yeah, I'm moving to Alaska. That was not what
and
I was hoping
for. And you've been
married
for 20 years now?
20 years, yes.
That's so beautiful.
I have a great wife.
I met her before. I love Hetty. Mm. Did you have a party what did you do for your 20th?
It's coming up actually in February.
What are you doing?
I'm 19 now. We're going to go to Vegas. We got married in Vegas originally, so we're going back to the scene of the crime, Little White Chapel.
Son of a bitch!
Let me pull back the curtain for you fuckers.
Honest,
we're not really in Peter Falk's house, okay? Every time we do a thing, I come up with some wacky place for us to be.
Okay.
So he was bringing the in-laws, and I go, oh, the Little White Chapel in Vegas, because you have to get married in order to have in-laws. And Christine goes, what the fuck kind of stupid-ass place is that to come from? Right here at this fucking table before you walked in.
I said, no, you got to get married.
She's like, well, then we'll talk about Vegas for an hour.
I said, what else do you got?
I got the in-laws movie. She went, okay, that's better.
That's pretty wild.
The Little White Chapel. He was fucking married in the Little White Chapel.
Yeah, February 14th,
never again. I'll never change it again.
Anyway, well, that'll be a wonderful vacation for you guys.
You guys are welcome to come along.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Where are you going to stay?
You know, maybe maybe Sherry and I'll show up and we'll just go crazy.
Absolutely. We're going to do Bellagio, I believe. We like Bellagio.
Bellagio's a nice place.
Yeah, I like
it. Have you ever stayed at Wynn? I like that place.
I have not stayed there, no. I've gambled there, but haven't stayed there yet.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't gambled there, but I've stayed
there. It's
cool,
though.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool place. But I like Bellagio.
Have you been to the, what is the Brauhaus?
The Hofbrauhaus.
No.
Oh, it's this very, very authentic German place, which is very weird. It's right across from the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, it's right behind
and it's a German, like a Munich, like a Southern German, a Munich style, you know, like Oktoberfest place. And it's like, you're like, It's 1,000 degrees, and you walk in. You're like, "What the fuck? Did I go through a portal?"
I love places like that. Like I love seeing acts out there. Like I always see this lounge act. He plays at midnight. You have to find where he's at. He's always been on the Cook E. Jar. Highly recommend.
Cook E. Jar
and Fat Elvis.
I bet he has a Twitter account. You could follow Cook E. Jar.
He probably does.
And know where he's at.
Have you ever seen Ty Elvis here in town?
No.
There's a down on Hollywood Boulevard.
I love Elvis
Ty-town. There's a place he's a Ty Elvis.
Yeah,
he's not Ty. He's Filipino.
But he looks Ty.
And he doesn't sound anything like
That's
Elvis.
Terrible.
But he wears the jumpsuit, but he's about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And he sings, and it's good, but he doesn't.
Does he sound like Elvis at all?
No.
Yes, he's good, though. Ty Closet. Like he's good.
He is good, but he's not Ty, and he doesn't look like Elvis.
Are his shoes like that?
No, he's singing in English.
Okay.
It's as if the guy, your accountant might be some Filipino guy.
If that guy put on
a jumpsuit and started to sing.
The next time you come to L.A., I'd love to go out with you and show you some of the...
Because there are
some funny, like Thai places like that. There's some funny Korean places. There's some really interesting...
I love character.
Awesome... ethnic
great,
restaurants out here.
Great
fantastic.
I love that. Like I'm a foodie, so I'm in.
Oh, you have to go to the Dresden and see Marty and Elaine, the famous Marty and Elaine.
Yeah, there's lots to do here.
They're in the movie Swingers, which is a 20-year-old movie. They're still doing the same fucking act in the same place. It's awesome.
Well, they're on. Yeah, they're like
But that's very on LA.
Like
it's very Pittsburgh and Milwaukee.
Years.
It's very rest of the country that they're still there.
Yeah.
But they're still.
Some traditions live on.
It's almost 30 years now, I think.
Yeah,
actually.
They're awesome.
6 nights a week. All right, you guys, let's wrap it up. I'd like to thank everybody for helping out the show today, including Sean Merrick here at Sideshow Network. Of course, Jorge Reyes, he helps us every single week. And John Thomas Griffith, Hannes, that's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me.
Never heard of him.
And on behalf of our storyteller today, Jimmy Krenn, and of course you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.